All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and folks, I'm sorry, but I am dying of heat. Whew, okay, there went 60 degrees. Wow. We have been in the book of Proverbs, and as I said before, I'm not a expository kind of preacher. We're not going to go word by word and letter upon letter and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to teach through Proverbs, and we started with what the Proverbs were, taught on characteristics of a wise person, characteristics of a fool. Now we're going through what Proverbs has to say about friendship. And these are just principle after principle after principle after principle, and I've taken them chronologically. They're not in any certain order other than how they appear in the book of Proverbs. But life is made up of relationships. It's not made up of things. You know, if you die and you have all the things in the world, but you had no relationships, what good was it? So life is made up of relationships, and it's a series of relationships. A wise man once said, friendship is the glue that holds all relationships together. I love that statement. You need to be friends in all relationships. I've worked at the college level and things, and I've taught young people, you know, before you marry somebody, you better be their friend. You ought to marry your best friend. And you ought to be able to be friends with your in-laws and your outlaws. And you need to be friends with the people with whom you work, most of them. You need to be friends with the people that you go to church with. Friendship is one of the few relationships in life you choose. You don't choose who your parents are. And you really don't choose who your children are, unless you adopt. But you really don't choose who, in most situations, what relationships are placed upon you. You definitely don't choose your in-laws. Some of you don't choose some of the rest of your own blood family because you wouldn't have chosen them, amen? I have some just like that. But friendship is one of those things. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. What a wonderful thing. And we've been talking about friendship. Now, tonight, I'm picking up. We've gone through 11 different major things here. Tonight, Proverbs chapter 22. And I'm going to start in verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 24. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So, number 12 is this. Hot-tempered people do not make good friends. Hot-tempered people do not make good friends. Now, let me say this. I don't believe that it's always wrong to lose your temper if it's planned. There are times anger is necessary. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there's a way to be angry without being sinful. When I went to the county on Tuesday, I was angry, but I didn't sin. I didn't scream and holler. Matter of fact, our engineer walked out. He shook my hand. He said, Pastor, that's the first one of those meetings I've ever been to that somebody didn't get cussed out. He said, I've never seen anybody do what you just did. He said, that was something. He said, can you come to our business and teach us how to do that? I said, once is enough. I said, this is the way you get things done. He said, I was worried you were going to just come unscrewed. I said, well, I did. He said, oh, you were very pointed, but you did it with a smile and everybody took it. I said, that's how you get angry without sinning. I said, I wasn't angry at any person, but we needed to fix the process. And that's how you do things. I was dealing with one of the men that was working on the property this week. And he knew I was going to the county. He said, give it to him. I said, Doc, I said, this is one preacher that doesn't wear no dress. And I said, and I don't got lace on my shorts either. And he looked at me. He said, I still have your card, Pastor. He said, I've been out of church because most preachers don't have a backbone. He said, I think I'm going to come visit you. I said, good. He said, you're never wrong. He said, you're never out of control. I said, just don't talk to my wife and you'll be okay. No, I said, no, there's no reason to get out of control. God says, make no friendship with an angry man. If you have a friend that's mad at everybody but you, can I tell you something? Behind your back, they're mad at you too. And an angry person has no control. You men know what I'm talking about. Did you ever try to break up a fight between two guys? I mean, they're just totally out of control. They're not even in the zone. You know, they're not there. Angry people don't make good friends. People who fly off the handle or lose it don't have the character to maintain a friendship. I hear this a lot. Well, I just have a short fuse. Well, sweetheart, your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just live next to the candle. The fuse is the same length. I just learned a long time ago, get away from the flame. Amen? I have learned that most of you don't even know what makes you mad. I help people with anger. And I say, make a list of everything that makes you mad. Do you know most people don't know what makes them mad? You say, everything. Okay, make a list of it. But make a list and find out what those things are. You can most of the time foresee those things coming and avoid them so that you don't have to get angry. I was a principal in a Christian school for many years. There were times I had to get angry on purpose because the student needed it. And those little buggers can say some of the cutest and funniest things at the wrong time, you know? You're trying to chew one out and they say something and you're like, excuse me, I need to go out there for a moment and go outside and get my principal face back on and walk back in and chew them out. Oh, I hate those things. But I would have to get myself in a mode because everything's going well and I got to chew this kid out. Oh, I hate that. So I'd have to think about something that made me angry. Just to get me into that mindset. Now, I wasn't angry, but I had to show a little bit of firmness. That's what the Bible's talking about here. People who are explosive at others will eventually explode on you. By the way, good people don't want their name associated with a hot-headed, out-of-control person. If you have a good name, do you want your name labeled with somebody like that? I know I don't. Notice verse number 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. God says, don't make a friendship with an angry person because you're going to learn what they do and eventually you're going to be out of control as well. You know, the more you're around people that lose their control, the more out of control you get. Young people, listen to this. We know what kind of people you hang around by what your attitude is. When you have a good-tempered, good-natured young person, all of a sudden they start flying off the handle, check out who their friends are. What friendship has changed? Because something's happened and they've been around somebody that's flying off the handle a lot. May I say this? I said this on day one of this Bible study. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I don't care what age you are. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't have anybody in mind. But you can get a bunch of seasoned adults together. Okay? You say, what does seasoning mean? Salt and pepper, black and white hair, all right? Older folks. And if you get one cranky one in the midst of all of them, eventually they all start getting cranky. Right, Arlene? She was the one to put her hands on her hips. I didn't. Now, wait a minute. Even older people can get into that realm. Somebody starts getting snippy about something, and then somebody else gets snippy, and before you know it, everybody in the group is snippy. And it's like, okay, what? That didn't go the way we wanted. You say, what is it? Somebody gets mean, somebody gets upset, somebody gets angered, and then everybody's upset. And God says, don't make friendships with people that are always like that, because you'll learn their ways, and you'll, by the way, watch people's attitude, and when it changes negatively, they're around a negative influence. What's wrong with the music of today? Look how angry it is. Look how out of control it is, out of bounds. What's wrong with Hollywood? Look how out of bounds it is. There are no boundaries anymore. And I got to hurry up. Take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 27. I could preach a whole sermon just on that one verse, but I got to get moving here. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This one's going to sound a little contradictory at first, but stay with me. Friends will hurt you. Friends will hurt you. Can I tell you why friends will hurt you? Because none of us are sinless. I will be your friend, but someday I may hurt you. I'm sorry. I won't intend to, but I will. I'll disappoint you. Friends will hurt you and let you down, but they're not going to do it on purpose. Real friends look past their own hurt, though, to see the friendship. See, the difference between real friendship and convenience is, do you get through the hurt? I love my wife. My wife and I have been married 29 plus years. We've known each other 31 years. I knocked her over in a hallway 31 years ago, October. She was walking outside of a closet with buckets and brooms in her hand, and I was walking down the hallway and didn't pay attention, and the next thing you know, buckets and brooms were flying, and she was too, and I felt like an idiot. So I helped her pick up buckets and brooms, and the next day I got to that spot and I looked, and the door was open and she was there, but she wasn't walking out. And we talked for a moment and laughed about the day before. And the next day I walked by and she was at the same door at the same time at the same place. And the Lord says, hey, stupid, are you going to talk to her? And I said, wasn't planning on it. And we talked and we had our first date and we got married. Amen. Not the first date, but eventually. All right. I skipped a lot in between there. But I knew after our first date we were getting married. Can I tell you something? In the 29 and a half years we've been married and the 31 years we've known each other, I'll guarantee I've hurt her. But not on purpose. Real friends look past their hurt and understand the friendship that goes with it. You're not always going to have your friend there when you want them there. I have friends around the country I might get to see once a year. Sometimes I'll go 3 or 4 years before I see them. But we're still friends. And we're still close. You say, how can you be close and not ever see each other? We are. Guarantee it. Enemies mask their hate and stab you unexpectedly. You see, somebody that pretends to be your friend, and then they stab you in the back. There's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Agag. A man came to him and had a dagger, and he went to hug his friend, and he took the dagger and stuck it in while he hugged his friend. And killed him. That is exactly what enemies do. All right? Ellen, behave yourself for once. Enemies mask their hate with an appearance of friendship. Be careful of people, and I'll get to that point later, but someone once said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I keep an eye on my enemy, not because I hate them, but because I don't trust them. I'll be cordial to them. I was out last week one day and ran into somebody that doesn't like my internal organs. And that's fine. I walked over and shook their hand. They couldn't get away fast enough. It didn't matter to me. I have nothing to hide. I have no bitterness. I have no anger. I have no malice. But at least they know I'm not going to approach it the wrong way. You see, a friend will tell you the truth, even if it hurts you, but an enemy is going to snowball you. There are times I have to tell my friends, hey, that's not real smart. That's not real wise. Don't do that. And it may hurt their feeling. There's times in counseling I have to tell somebody, no, you're wrong. What do you mean I'm wrong? No, you're wrong. Let me show you in the Bible. You're wrong. That won't work. But I love you. That may even hurt their feelings. But can I tell you something? Hurt feelings heal. The truth is more important than our feelings, aren't they? I'd rather be... someone once said, if my position offends you, tough. If my disposition offends you, I'll fix it. I'm not changing on the King James Bible. It's the Word of God, plain and simple. You can have all your modern versions and your contemporary junk. We're not going the modern way in church. We got the old songs, the old way, the old book, the old-fashioned preaching, and you're stuck with an old-fashioned kind of preacher. Now, I'm making no apologies for that. I'll pound the pulpit. I'll raise my voice. I'll do the things. I believe in soul winning. I believe in keeping people out of hell. I believe in knocking on doors, telling folks about Jesus. Hey, that's what God told us to do. We're going to do it His way, not man's way. We're not going to have coffee shops and coffee houses and praise and worship services and people getting up and dancing and everything else. We're not doing it. We're not having drums. We're not. It's just not going to happen. Now, are drums sinful? No, but the church isn't the place for it. We're not going to bring the world into the church so we can reach more of the world. The church is supposed to go into the world and reach the world and bring them into the church.
That's right.
Now, churches in the world today are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. And that's the truth. Back in the 60s, when the Beatles landed from London... everybody was talking about how bad their haircuts are, and they would be better than the average Southern gospel group in America today. Back then, people were upset with it, even lost people. Everybody doing okay? Now the church is more worldly than the world was. And we won't go any further with that. That's another sermon. Amen? So, friends are going to hurt you. I'm willing to hurt somebody to say, we're going to live by the truth. Doesn't matter. There it is. We're going to live by the truth. I'll tell you the truth, whether it helps me or whether it hurts me. Number 14, I got to move on here. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 20. That's not possible. That is really funny here. I just lost my place here. Because it says 27:29, and that's not it. Let me see here. I have my study Bible, and I have my preaching Bible, and I am... verse 9? No. Okay, I can probably quote the verse. No. The Bible says that friends are to counsel each other. Let me see here. 27:9. Well, help if I was in the right chapter. I'm in chapter 26. Let me try this again. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 9. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry, folks. Did you ever have one of those days? Look at verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Friends are supposed to counsel one another. Now, listen to this statement. It's rarely wise for you to seek counsel of a peer, someone your own age. There is an exception to that. I've been in the ministry 30 years. I've been preaching for 30 years. I've earned the right to counsel just about everybody at every age of life, just because the volume of people I've dealt with. But the average 15-year-old shouldn't get their advice from a 15-year-old. That's a good recipe for stupid. Okay? A 25-year-old shouldn't get their advice from a 25-year-old. because the other 25-year-old doesn't know any more about life than you do. Generally speaking, that is a true statement. But choose your friends who are wise enough to give you good, objective, wise advice. Let me ask you a question. Who are your friends, and are they wise enough to advise you? I choose friends that intimidate me. I choose friends that are very strong in areas where I'm not strong. Just this evening, I talked to Pastor Jeff Fugit, Dr. Fugit, over in Lexington, Kentucky. He's pastoring huge work, 2,000 people plus on pretty normal Sunday around there. Got the college, got a school. He's getting ready to build buildings. You think our site plan's intense. He had to build a site plan with four buildings in mind, not just two. 80 acres. He's going a couple, $4 or $5 million in debt on this one, but they've got a couple $1 million wrapped up in the property they have that they'll sell as soon as they get a temporary building up on this one, and it'll all work out, and he's good to go. But Brother Fugit is a little older than I, but he's built a larger work as a pastor than I have, and I've known Brother Fugit for a long time. I got some advice from him tonight about a certain area of our work here to get to another level. And can I tell you something? There's not many men my age in the ministry I trust anymore, because most of them are changing. Most of them are going the modern way. Most of them are going the contemporary way. And I refuse to get my advice from somebody that's changed. I'll get my advice from somebody that's following that book right there. So choose friends who are wise enough to give you good, objective, wise advice. There are times I'll call one of my friends and say, I need your advice, and I need your honest opinion. I don't want you to tell me something nice. Tell me what I need to hear. And sometimes I didn't want to hear what they said, but I needed it, and I accept it. The advice of a good friend, the Bible says, is like the sweetness or the perfume that comes and refreshes you. Too many people, this is not a nice way to say it, please forgive me for the crudeness. Too many people stink in life because they don't ask enough advice to get sweetened up. You know, you don't need to smell like a perfume factory, but every once in a while, a little spray won't hurt everybody. Amen? The advice of a friend, the Bible says, is like an ointment that brings relief to a sore muscle or to a sore bone. My chiropractor got me started on something called Biofreeze. Wonderful stuff. I've used Icy Hot, and I've used the lidocaine stuff, and it's like water. There's something about Biofreeze. I don't know what it is, but it worked. I told my wife, I said, we got to find this stuff. I don't care how much it costs, I got to find it, because that stuff worked. It may not work for you. I understand that. It worked great for me. I liked it. So be it. It sure did make the muscles happier, let me tell you. Go out there and dig in that hole, amen, Brother Barnes? And I'd have my wife the next day, okay, I need some Biofreeze. Right there, please. All right, and up there, please. And just with the tube and paint it on, amen. I'll tell you one thing, you better hold your breath when it goes on, because it'll get you in a hurry. But eventually it brings relief. That is exactly what counsel can do. It will bring that sweet relief. Choose your friends who are going to tell you the truth and not tell you what you want to hear. I have to tell you something. My preacher friends call me brutally honest. People that have known me, they say, Brother Bush, you're just brutally honest. I have to be. I love my friends enough not to dance around the issue. If they ask my advice, I'm going to be brutally honest with them, and I ask them to be brutally honest with me. There's no sense in mincing words. Let's get through this thing. Let's fix it. Amen. And that's how I work through things. Now, I'm not unkind. I'm not rugged. I'm not rough. But I'm not going to pussyfoot around. I got to hurry up here. Make sure I have the right verse here. Proverbs chapter... I must not have been feeling real good right there. Let me tell you. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 10. I have Proverbs chapter 16 written on that one, and I have no idea. I get phone calls in the middle of this. It's hard telling. Look at verse number 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. Never forsake a friend in need. Never forsake a friend in need. I want you to know something. Look what the Bible says. Thine own friend and thy father's friend. You know, it would be wise of the younger generation to find out who the friends of their parents are that are godly and follow them. I'm glad some of the people my dad knows are still my friends. My dad's had a friend. How long have you and Rich been friends? 70, 77, 78 years. They've known each other since they were both in diapers. Literally. They grew up on neighboring farms. They're still friends after almost 80 years. Okay? Can I tell you something? Rich is my friend. I've helped Rich through the years. He's been through some major troubles. I've helped his wife. They've called and asked my advice. I helped him through a real tragic time several years ago and kept up with them. Say why? I wrote them both a letter and said, thank you for letting me live the Bible. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I'm glad I get to be friends with my parents' friends. Young people, learn to be friends with your parents' age friend. Friendship goes beyond age. It goes beyond gender. Friendship transcends everything. Learn to be friends with generations older than you and younger than you. I'm glad folks that are older than I can be friends with. I'm glad little boys and girls and I can be friends. I'm glad teenagers and I can be friends. I'm glad college students and I can be friends. I've learned how to try to get to all the generations and I can be friendly with. Say why? Because that's what it's supposed to be. I can gain from the older generation and I'm to reach the younger generation and my generation and teach them what the previous generation had. Hey, I've held hands with the greatest of the fundamental leaders of the last generation. If I don't spread it, who is? I knew the Lee Robertsons. I knew the Jack Hileses. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles. I knew Tom Malone. I knew Joe Boyd. I knew some of the older generation, good night Harold Henniger and Bruce Cummins, and I could go down the list. I know the great, I knew Lester Roloff, and if I don't bring it to this generation, those men are all dead. Who's going to keep it alive? So I held hands with him. It's my responsibility to pass the baton along. And that's what this is talking about here. Learn to be friends with your children. Learn to be friends, young people, with your parents. I'm not going to try to embarrass her, but Kirsten's at a fun age right now. She's learning to be friends with her parents as well as be a child still. Being a teenager is a transition between becoming an adult and still being a kid, but becoming more of a friend to your parents than just a kid. And a wise parent starts bringing that along. Now, you still have to do what mom and dad say, period, end of discussion. But I'm glad my daughter is my friend. She's 20 years old. She's my friend. And she'll probably marry the toe-headed idiot next year, but she's still my friend. Can I tell you something? Learn to be friends with your children. I'm glad when I texted my daughter-in-law this morning. I told her how proud I was of her and that we loved her and this different things and they're getting ready for a new school year. And she said, Dad, thanks. She said, I'm so spoiled to have two dads. And I thank God for that. I want my children, including my in-law children, if there is such a thing. I don't have in-law children. I just have kids. Amen. I'm glad that We have that kind of friendship that goes with it. Learn to be friends with your children's friends. if you don't know who your kids' friends are, you're not real wise. I knew who my children were friends with. And when an attitude changed, I found out which friend was causing it, and they changed friends. Everybody doing okay? Just because your child likes someone doesn't mean they're the right influence. Learn that if your child doesn't like one of your friends, maybe you need to rethink it too. Friendship needs to be based on biblical principle, not personality. I can't tell you that I probably like every one of all of my children's friends, but I can be friendly with them because I think they're good people. Maybe personality-wise, we don't get along as well, but that doesn't mean anything. I have people in life that are my friends that we're better friends at a distance than we are up close because we'll both get in trouble together. Friendship needs to be based on biblical principle, not on personality. I got to hurry here because I only have two left, and we'll finish this and go to a new topic next week. Amen. Number 16, look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. That doesn't mean don't call your friend early in the morning. All right? It does mean don't flatter or give false praise to your friends. Flattery is not good amongst friends. We're not to be friends with someone so that we can get more attention ourselves. Flattery is one of those words, oh, you're just so beautiful, you're so lovely, you're so this, you're so this, you're so this, you're so the gag. Eventually that wears off. Now, there's nothing wrong with two ladies saying, oh, you look nice, I like your hair, I like this, I like that. Brother Barnes, your hair's fine. Amen. All three of them. I have no problem with, you know, complimenting somebody, but the word flattery goes beyond the average compliment. It is you trying to get attention brought to yourself because of the flowery words that you're using. Some want to brag about knowing someone when they really don't know them that well. I know people that met Dr. Jack Hiles one time and they say, I knew Brother Hiles well. It cracks me up. I worked for him. Yeah, I knew him fairly well, but not as well as others. False praise or flattery only builds the person doing it. It doesn't build the person about it, about whom they're flattering. I always get a little leery when somebody starts really talking me up because I'm about to get set up real fast. People of real character don't like public praise or public attention. They really don't. Please pardon the personal illustration. I've preached around the country. Do you know what the most difficult time in preaching around the country is for me? When I'm sitting here getting ready to come up here and the pastor's introducing me. There's nowhere to hide, you know? Usually I open my Bible and I'm looking at my outline, ignoring what's being said. Because I don't need to hear it, because it just makes me nervous. Or somebody singing happy birthday to you somewhere. You know, in public. And, you know, you don't know whether to stand there with your hands in your pockets, or you don't know whether to blow kisses, or, you know, some people enjoy that. It's just really awkward. I wrote this statement down. Someone willing to flatter me will be willing to splatter me when they don't get what they want from me. Someone willing to flatter me is eventually going to be disloyal when they don't get what they want from me. That's what I mean by splatter. They're going to spread things about you. Well, I was this to them, and I did this, and I did that, and they wouldn't even help me here. Okay. It was all about you, not about them. Someone who flatters is looking for self-praise. All those big flowery words, usually that's self-praise. And I got to hurry. I'll finish on this last one. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It doesn't say he sharpens his tongue. It says he sharpens the countenance. Friends keep each other sharp. Friends keep each other sharp. I almost brought my wife has some knives that she uses in the kitchen, and I've got some that I use for butchering and things. How many of you know what a steel is that you sharpen a knife with? It's just a piece of steel. It's got little edges on it, and it's about that long with a handle. And you take your knife and like that. I love sharpening a knife on one of those. And I like teaching people how to do it because it's real easy. Everybody thinks it's real hard. It's real easy. Because you can feel your knife go down that and feel where all the rough edges are. And as you move it, you can feel those edges come off till it just slides real nice and easy. And you know when the knife is just shoo, 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 and there's no resistance, that you're sharp again. And it just like this, and you eventually learn the angle on it real fast, and it works real well. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. That's exactly what it's talking about. You have the gritted steel versus the hard steel of the knife. And you have to take those rough edges off to get it sharp. That is exactly what friendship is all about. We're to grind off those rough edges from each other to make both of us sharp. My wife and I are friends. She's learned to whittle off some of the rough edges of me. She's got a long way to go. Shush, Dad. Yeah. My dad went into a meeting with Brother Hiles one time when I was on staff there. My dad was in a church in central Indiana. He and his pastor came up, and I was scared to death because my dad was just going to go in and meet with my boss. This is not a good thing. And I found out later, they met each other, and Brother Hiles said, "Can't you do something about your son?" He said, "I sent him here. You can't do anything with him either." Well, I'm not even there and getting beat up by both of them. Friendship is to work off those rough edges to make you sharper. That process isn't fun. Getting the rough edges ground off really isn't comfortable. But may I say this? Just like that knife needs to yield to the steel, we have to yield to our friends so that we can become sharper. Friends need to let each other do this. There's times in a friendship where you have to say, "Let me help you right here. This might not be as comfortable or tasteful, but let me help you right here. That wasn't real smart. Can I help you with something? You didn't handle that real well." There's times in a marriage, my wife will say, "Honey, I don't think we ought to do that again." Yeah, that didn't turn out quite like I thought. Kind of like I was thinking today while I was driving. I just got off 81 at exit down there on Route 9. And, you know, you go under the underpass, and everything gets bottlenecked right there. And I was in the far right lane, and the left lane was open. So I came over, and just as I came over, the guy ahead of me started to decide he wanted to come over. But the guy ahead of him was stopping for the guy ahead of him. Pow! And there's pieces of car going in front of mine. Didn't hit me. I was praise the Lord. They pulled off the side, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I was that close." And you'll laugh. I said, "Boy, that's a good way to have a bad day. Nobody else in the car," but I was thinking, that's a good way to have a bad day. And I was thankful nobody got hurt. They weren't going real fast. I mean, it wasn't like a high-speed chase or anything. But it was... it was pretty good. It was like a 1975 pickup truck with one of the old steel bumpers on it, you know, the one with the X's on them, and a brand new Honda. And the Honda was the one that hit the truck bump. Truck didn't look like it hooked anything, but that car was in bad shape. I was like, guy in the truck's going to be happy, but the guy that did the hitting's not going to be happy at all. You see, friends need to sharpen each other. It may not feel good, but it will cause both of you to become sharper. You know, learning your friends well enough to be able to help them. Now, just so you know, you're not God. You can't tell him what to do. Friends need to learn to sharpen at appropriate times. Do you know,
when my kids were little, of course, I haven't sat with my children in church in forever. I could probably count on both of those hands the time I have sat in church with my daughter. Seriously. So when I used to get to sit in church, it was a fight to see who could sit by daddy. You know, when you got three kids, there's usually one on the lap and one on the other side, and I never let them come between my wife and I because I didn't get to sit with her either, so it would just became a battle. But there were times I'd be sitting on the platform, and our auditorium sat 7,000 people. My family sat third row right there. And I usually sat on this side of the platform or where I could see them. And if one of my kids was acting up and wasn't listening to mom, is all I had to do is look at them a certain way. And it was like, my daughter's already over here. She was squirming a minute ago. She knows what the look was. And that meant, you're getting in trouble when you get home. I just saw you. And if I had to do it more than once, it was really getting bad. What was that? I had a friendship and a relationship with them. I could correct them with my eyes. Friends can often correct a friend with their eyes. You know, one of these looks. Or, you don't have to get flagrant, and you don't have to get animated in public. Hey, you stupid idiot, what are you doing? You don't have to do that. Get behind closed doors when nobody's there, and then do that. But don't do it in front of everybody. Always correct somebody in private. You will rarely ever see me correct somebody in public. I've had to correct a situation once here in public. We had somebody come to disrupt a church service one time. And you saw me take care of it. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't cruel. It wasn't nasty. Somebody came to spread gossip during the middle of a church service about a church member, and I wasn't going to stand for it. And I just politely had them escorted out. And I told y'all, don't kill them on the way out. No fist fights. They're probably there. Just don't listen to them. And we handled it rightly, if you remember. You say, why is that? I knew the person. I knew the situation. But even then, he forced my hand to be unkind publicly because he was unkind publicly. I'm still not mad at him. I've seen him twice since. I have nothing against him. See, I want my friends to hold me closer to God. I want my friends to sharpen me so I can be closer to what God's word says I should be. I don't want them to tell me what I want to hear. I want them to tell me what God wants me to hear. Don't get all lathered up because somebody told you the truth. But may I say this, you don't have to beat somebody over the head with the truth either. You can do it in a kind way, even though it's negative. I'm done. Let me make a few statements and I'll finish. Of course, the entire Bible has much to say about friendship. I've just barely touched it. Let me challenge you. How about be a better friend? Don't worry about necessarily having a lot of good friends. Why the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That let's concern ourselves with being the right kind of friend. Can I tell you something? The better a friend you are, the better friend you're going to have. Let's concern ourselves with being the right friend. I've learned this. The better friend I am, the more friends I get. I don't know how that all works, but it's God's principles. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. And may I say this? Let's take a biblical approach to friendship. Let's take a biblical approach to friendship. Well, I used to love this person. They used to be my friend. No, even the friends that are now enemies of mine are still my friend. I just don't spend time with them. If they needed help, I'd still help them. If they needed something, I would still be there to help them as much as I could. There are some that have needed me, and it's better for me not to be near them to help them, but help them from behind the scenes. I've had to do that often, especially in recent years.
Let's take a biblical approach to friendship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wanted to hurry through it. I'm just a couple minutes later than normal. But how about we focus on being the right kind of friend? Not just to our friends, but to every relationship we have. Friends in our marriage, friends in our home, friends at everything we do.